The Geopolitics of Globalization.
It is not easy for this generation of Americans to grasp how important America is to the world in the era of globalization. Historically, the United States either has been isolated and aloof from world affairs, or has been compelled to enter deeply into the world as part of a moral crusade to fend off another aggressive, threatening power. Isolation is easy to explain and understand. Engagement in a bipolar world with a big, menacing, nuclear-armed Soviet bear always growling on the other side was also easy to explain and understand. But what is not easy to explain or understand is engagement in a world in which the United States is the biggest beneficiary and the sole superpower, with multiple secondary powers and with no immediately visible threat, but with many little threats and an abstract globalization system to maintain. But this is the world we have, and in this world, we can't afford either isolation or waiting around for some smaller adversary to become a life-threatening foe. America, as I noted earlier, is the Michael Jordan of geopolitics. It's great to be Michael Jordan, and like the commercial says, a lot of people just want to be like Mike. But as good as Michael Jordan was, he was nothing without the NBA, with its 29 teams and its global television contracts to showcase his skills. So it is with America. We are nothing without the rest of the world, and the world cannot thrive without us. Other nations may want to beat America's brains out in many endeavors, but, save for the really super-empowered angry men, most of the world also understands that without a strong America, the world would be a much less stable place. Sustainable globalization requires a stable power structure, and no country is more essential for this than the United States. The hidden hand of the market will never work without a hidden fist. McDonald's cannot flourish without McDonnell Douglas, the designer of the U.S. Air Force F-15 fighter. And the hidden fist that keeps the world safe for Silicon Valley's technologies to flourish is called the U.S. Army, the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Navy, and the U.S. Marine Corps. And these fighting forces and institutions are paid for by American taxpayer dollars. With all due respect to Silicon Valley, ideas and technology don't just win and spread on their own. Good ideas and technologies also need a strong power that promotes those ideas by example and protects those ideas by winning on the battlefield, says foreign policy historian Robert Kagan. If a lesser power were promoting our ideas and technologies, they would not have the global currency that they have. And when a strong power, the Soviet Union, promoted its bad ideas, they had a lot of currency for more than half a century. This fact is simply too easily forgotten today. For too many executives in Silicon Valley, there is no geography or geopolitics anymore. There are only stock options and electrons. When I asked an all-too-typical tech exec on a 1998 visit to Silicon Valley when was the last time he had talked about Iraq or Russia or foreign wars, he proudly answered, "Not more than once a year. We don't even care about Washington. Money is extracted by Silicon Valley and then wasted by Washington. I want to talk about people who create wealth and jobs. I don't want to talk about unhealthy and unproductive people. If I don't care about the wealth destroyers in my own country, why would I care about the wealth destroyers in another country?"